Have a seat, please. Thank you very much. Blessed to be back here in front of all your smiling, some neutral faces. But I know that you each have Christ in you, which is the most important thing in this entire universe. And even all the money in the world can compare to the Spirit of Christ within. So, checkmate. I wanted to play those two songs by the Gaithers this morning. Of course, you're all familiar with those incredible four-part harmonies. Well, five, with one silent voice in the background. So I'll call it a four-part harmony. Just the blending of their each individual voices. And I love voices like that that just blend together to create something so beautifully. Because music in particular, it does something that sometimes just normal language cannot do, and that's, it can really minister to people's hearts. It can touch our hearts in a way that otherwise can't be formulated into normal words. Kind of like speaking in tongues. Well, not like speaking in tongues, but speaking in tongues is another example. It is perfect prayer, it is perfect praise, and it's speaking to God in a language that we never learn. And speaking to God in a language that He completely understands and is saying things from our hearts that otherwise can't be formulated into words. It's really something. Well, this morning, I trust you kind of see the common theme, the common thread. The God who makes us whole. Who is God to you? Can you answer that question? Maybe in 100 sentences? Well, it's probably going to be a whole lot more than that. God is everything to us. He's a healer. He's our provider. He's our sufficiency. He's our comforter. He's our shepherd. On and on the list goes. There are many different names for God and attributes that He carries. Many of you were here with us a couple of weeks ago. A couple of us shared about our vision for the new year. And we covered a wide variety and range of different experiences and topics. But God put something on my heart to really look into. And I talked about a subject that I find to be, well, not surface level, but one-sided, I would say, in many areas. There's a famous German opera composer named Richard Wagner. Very well known. And he coined a phrase in German, and it's pronounced Gesamtkunstwerk. And that can be translated into a couple of different things here. First of all, it's more well known as a total work of art. Ideal work of art, universal artwork, synthesis of the arts, comprehensive artwork, or all-embracing art form. Basically, the too long didn't read version of it is, it's a work of art that uses many different styles and components to create something comprehensive and beautiful. Kind of like what God does, huh? Kind of like who God is. He's all of these things, yet He's one God. And He's perfect. So, I wanted to focus on one thing this morning, and I shared on this a couple Mondays ago, and it's just so powerful. I would say that we often believe that God is in the background. You know, when we're exhausted or overwhelmed, or sometimes we may think that God merely just helps us to get through the day. But God does so much more than that. in that last song, he never stops working. He never stops working. Even when we don't see it, he never stops working. So I wanted to speak about the God whose desire is complete restoration, total healing, and full renewal. Because how many kinds of healing are there? Well, guess what? We tend to focus on one kind, and that's our physical bodies. Okay, very important. Nobody wants to be hobbling around with a broken leg or an injured neck. Maybe we woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Nobody wants to walk around with aches and pains. So we often focus on the physical side of healing. However, in caps, in all capital letters, however, there are other types of healing too. What about emotional healing? Agape now is a way to prove that, I mean, people will come up to us and then walk away. Yeah, it could be devil spirits at work. Sometimes people just carry a lot of pain, and they have these walls that guard their hearts because of whatever they've gone through in the past. What about mental healing? What about spiritual healing? I'll tell you this, we have a God who doesn't stop working when the pain lessens. You know, he continues until nothing is missing and nothing is broken. God heals completely, fully, 100%. The God who looks at what has been fractured by loss, trauma, time, doesn't call it permanent, but calls it redeemable. There's a word I want to emphasize this morning, and it's wholeness. Wholeness. It starts with that word whole. Like when God created mankind, body, soul, and spirit, everything is connected to everything. Everything. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to look at a few verses here this morning. But I think it would be appropriate to start kind of at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. You know, when that phrase, those two words, very good, when God saw everything that he had made, and said it was very good. I mean, humanity in particular, like I mentioned, body, soul, and spirit. And at that time, originally, there was no inner conflict. Yes, he gave mankind freedom of will. But there was no need to hide. There was no fear of being fully known. Being whole and being complete was the atmosphere of creation. It was the natural state of life with God. Well, in any story, there's always an antagonist. We know what happened. It's at the fall of man. That's when, as we know it, that's when sin came into the picture. And what happened? A lot of things were introduced at the fall of man. And it wasn't just guilt. Because as we know, what did they do? Well, they hid. They ran. They felt ashamed. But it introduced things like fragmentation. What had once been unified became divided. God had that perfect relationship with his man. The body, the physical body, became vulnerable to sickness and disease. And as we know, it kind of just got worse over time. The mind became restless and anxious, and the heart became guarded. And that's where shame entered the picture as well. Fear followed, and then hiding became instinctive. You know, we often hear we often feel like since we're Christians, we shouldn't be afraid of anything. And yes, that's true, but our natural response from that point forward was to run and hide ourselves. Which, by the way, is called avoidance. Instead of facing your problems head on, we tend to kind of avoid them, tend to run away from them. Brokenness entered not only the human condition, but the human experience itself. And as we know it, the greatest spiritual wound that ever occurred was that separation between man and God. And yet, in that moment, after that happened, God did not abandon his creation. He came up with a plan to restore that connection with his man once and for all. Really something. Let's see here. Go to 3 John chapter 1. It's just so fascinating. When God heals, he heals with intention, depth, and completion. And God's word reveals to us over and over, time and time again, that God is not interested in what I like to call just cosmetic repair, right? He's interested in this other thing, and he has a name for it. Wholeness. All right, we're in 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospereth." I'll read that one more time. "Beloved, I wish above all things." So if nothing else, I want you to prosper and be in health. I'm not sure if physical wholeness is... Well, let me rephrase that. Physical wholeness is important, but those other wounds that humans carry, the emotional wounds, the spiritual wounds, things like that, those last a whole lot longer than physical wounds do. And those are the kinds of healing that we tend to forget. But he says, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So notice how God speaks of the soul along with the body. He speaks of the inner life, right? Before the outward condition. And healing in Scripture almost always begins beneath the surface and those things which have gone unseen. And sometimes completely forgotten, right? Okay, let's go to, I'm going to read you Exodus chapter 15. God reveals himself as a healer. In this verse, Exodus 15:26, it simply says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." So after delivering Israel from, they were dealing with, God reveals this very essential thing about his nature. You know, he doesn't first identify himself as something else. He says, "I am the God that healeth thee." What I wanted to do as well is go read you a few verses in Psalm 103. Many verses in the book of Psalms that deal with wholeness as well. And David speaks to his own soul, reminding not to forget what God does. Psalm 103. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. 1, 2, 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Notice how forgiveness and healing are spoken within the same breath in this verse. Because God heals in a complete way, right? He doesn't only remove things like guilt. He repairs damage. He heals the wound that sin leaves behind. A lot of us are caught up in things that have occurred in the past. But healing ourselves, we're asking God to heal us from things that have occurred in the past, are essential to making us whole today. Because oftentimes those things are the things that hold people back time and time again. But I love this verse. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 30. The verse 17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord." There we go. God speaks directly to wounds, not just those physical wounds, but the emotional wounds, relational wounds, spiritual wounds. And I tell you, the list goes on and on with what God can do. A lot of wounds have been carried by people for many years, as I mentioned. And if you don't catch them quick, then wounds, not the physical ones, but the other wounds that I just mentioned, that can really be part of somebody's identity. And that's where the enemy really takes his stance, gets into position, and can really take hold of somebody's life. It's a wonderful record in Matthew chapter 4 where this heart of God is revealed in the early ministry of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4 verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Healing was not rare in Jesus Christ's ministry. I would say it was probably at the heart of what he did. He did the Father's will. And just like we read in 3 John, that's what God wants. He wants us to prosper and be in good health. But I can guarantee you, someone probably amongst us is holding on to something from the past. Something else that Christ did is that he never treated somebody suffering as an inconvenience. You never do that. He never treated people's physical ailments as interruptions. He never reduced individuals to what was going on with them. You know what he did? He saw them. And he stopped for them. And he restored them. In Matthew chapter 8, I'm just going to read you these verses, save you some muscle strength. When the leper came up to Jesus, isolated, feeling rejected, it was what Jesus did. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That touch healed the guy. Yes. But it also took care of all of that, all of those underlying issues that I'm sure that guy was going through. Shame, feeling excluded. Years of feeling ostracized and being untouchable. Imagine what that stuff does to somebody. There are people in the family of God that probably feel the same way, not necessarily because of leprosy, but of other things that are going on. It's a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing to feel ostracized, especially in the family of God. There's another record about one of the clearest pictures of wholeness, and it's the woman with the issue of blood. Because for 12 years, she really suffered. She really suffered for 12 years. 12 years of struggles, 12 years of weakness, 12 years of disappointment, discouragement. I mean, some of us have probably dealt with different issues for many, many, many years. And that can make you feel really discouraged. However, in Mark chapter 5, I'll read you verse 34. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Notice how Jesus says something so fascinating. But here it is again. He didn't say that she was just healed. He said that she was made whole. Peace returned to her mind and her body. Peace was restored. Wholeness touched every part of this woman's life. Now, think about that for a moment. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I shared something called a total work of healing. Because that is something that only God can really truly do. If you think about it, when God created man, body, soul, and spirit, the center of that creation was complete wholeness. And all of those things are interconnected. That was God's intention. And it still is for our lives. Isaiah chapter 53. You know, once a year we spend time in the spring months, usually around April, talking about the resurrection. And I think we've come to a deep understanding of what that entails and what he went through for us. But Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Peace and healing flow from the same sacrifice. Jesus Christ took on every possible thing you could imagine so that you and I could stand here today to claim that same wholeness. And he, gosh, sometimes your mind goes to what his final moments were actually like. It is unimaginable. It is unbelievable. It's really something. I know I'm kind of hopping all over the place here, but we just don't have time to cover this whole entire subject. There's another section where in John chapter 5 where Jesus encountered a man who was sick for what, some 30 plus years, 38 years or something like that. And Jesus Christ did not ask the man to explain his past or everything that he went through. He simply asked a question to this guy. In verse 6 of John chapter 5, he simply says, "Will thou be made whole?" Not just healed, not just make it through the day. Will thou be made whole? Because wholeness requires us to get out of our own way. It requires us to get out of the five senses. Wholeness changes how we live. Jesus spoke again in verse 8. "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Really something. You know, God's commitment to wholeness. I don't think that's just going to end with this life. I mean, when we get to heaven, we're going to have perfect bodies. Perfect spiritual bodies. And wholeness is just going to be everlasting. I can't wait. Romans chapter 8. A few more verses. Verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." God finishes what he starts. Philippians chapter 1. There's just so many verses on this. Philippians 1 verse 6. "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Now this is the promise that we're left with here, guys. It's not some theory, right? This is the heart of the Father towards his children. And it's a peace that really reaches every layer of who we are and what we're all about. God makes us whole. God heals absolutely, completely. And I'm going to encourage you to really spend some time with the Father. As I know Bob mentioned, yes, we want to see our family grow. We want lots of kids. Well, God does anyways. But that's going to start with us. Do we really understand? How could it be possible to fully understand the power that we really possess because we have Christ in us. How could that be possible? Well, it's worth a shot. But that's what God wants. And you know what? Part of it is because God doesn't rush His healing. He doesn't rush it. Yeah, He can probably do it in one fell swoop. I don't know, maybe you can only speculate. Maybe sometimes He'll teach us some lessons along the way. But what He touches, He restores, and He does it big time. I'm going to close in a verse here this morning. We'll just go on and on and on here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The heart of our Heavenly Father is that He wants us whole. Wholeness covers a whole range of things other than the physical wholeness that we so desire and claim. I understand. I get it. You know, we want these aches and pains to go away. Okay, but what comes next? So I'm going to encourage you to really, really spend some time with the Father and really tap into that Holy Spirit package. Because what Jesus Christ did for us, and oh man, there's no excuse. Right, Shati? Right. So, tomorrow night, if you call in, I'm going to expand on this because there's just so much more about this topic. But I'm trusting that God's exhortation is clear this morning. Wholeness. Wholeness. And that's just not partial healing. That is complete and total healing in every way possible. Hey, who knows? We can spend each day on a different type of healing, and we would still wouldn't be able to cover this entire thing. But I encourage you to claim your wholeness, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, what a tremendous God you are to us all. One thing I do know, Father, is that you are into something called freedom. Freedom from bondage, freedom from sickness, disease, emotional struggles, spiritual wounds, any other tactic that the adversary has at his disposal. But I stand here this morning with my brothers and sisters, and we claim our total wholeness, Father God. Such a wide subject. But it's at the heart of who you are, Father God. So I just give you all the praise and the glory. Who knows what life would be like if you weren't our Father, if we weren't your kids. Father, we stand together as just a part of the family of God, and we just say thank you for making us whole, and we claim our deliverance in every way possible in Jesus Christ's name. And they all said, amen. Bless you guys.
Wow. Excellent. Well, wonderful little challenge for us, huh? Believe God's word. God is faithful to do His word. So why not take Him at His word? So let's do that this week. Let's take God at his word and see the wholeness that he promises us. Well, looking forward to next week when we get together. And, of course, the wonderful fellowships that we have during the week are available with Daniel Monday. And then Tuesday, I think some of you get involved with the Barnhearts playing different seminars, Ken Petty seminars. So, and then we've got Wednesday fellowship. And so look forward to being with the believers, huh? So let's have a great week, all right? We'll see you next week or during the week sometime as well. God bless you all.